All right, I'd like to welcome everyone out to the Thursday, October 1st, 2020 Planning Commission meeting. We'll call the meeting to order and we'll start off with a Pledge of Allegiance offered by Wendy. Thank you, Wendy. We do have a quorum, but it's not a full quorum tonight. Those that are present are Jackson, Andy, Heather, Brody, Adam, and myself. Are there any conflicts of interest with any of these?
Chris,
Andrea's here. And Andrea. Yeah,
thank you.
So we do have a full quorum. I take that back. So there's Andrea that's present as well. Yeah, I can't see her on the side of the screen, so I apologize. Do we have any conflicts of interest with any of the items today? Seeing none, we'll move on to 2.4, which is an approval of minutes for September 3rd, 2020.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes, item 2.4, minutes for September 3rd, 2020.
Motion by Heather, all in favor?
I'll second it.
Oh, second by Adam, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, guys. Then we'll move on to legislative items, 3.1, which is on for a public hearing as well, which is a request for a text change to create a village mixed-use overlay zone. And we'll look at city staff for additional insight.
Okay, thank you. This is, as mentioned, this is a text amendment, which does require a public hearing tonight. This is an item that the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the City Council, because this is essentially a proposed change to city law. Following the public hearing, the Planning Commission may approve the proposal, make a recommendation to approve the proposal. You may also make a recommendation to modify it, to make changes to it. You may also vote to recommend denial. You can also table it if you feel like there's reasons to maybe study it further, make further adjustments to it before you make a final decision or recommendation. Again, this will go to the City Council, and they will review it, and they're the body who will make the final decision. This is an application that was submitted by a private development partner who's working within the city and working towards creating a new mixed-use shopping center with services, restaurants, hopefully hotel, if the market will come back from our current COVID. And as part of that project and being adjacent to Mountain View, they've identified that there are, they would like to have some additional tools for signage. Now, what they are proposing is a new text, a section of our text that would create a new zoning overlay. This request does not apply the zoning overlay to any specific property in the city. This is just creating the tool. If this tool is adopted by the city, then there will be a second request to actually amend the zoning map to apply this tool to a specific location. You've noticed in the text of the amendment, it indicates that this would only be applied to properties that have 40 contiguous acres or larger. And it would be applied to only specific commercial or mixed-use zones in the city. Again, it is primarily seeking to identify or establish new tools relative to signage within this overlay. This is something similar to what the city has done. For example, the Real the soccer complex has a similar zoning overlay, which allows for that signage. I mentioned in my staff report, and I also mentioned in the work meeting, that I had a question about the height maximum of an attached sign. And in my recommendation, I had proposed that maybe perhaps the commission could consider actually establishing a limit. But I must admit, in considering this a little bit further, because the applicant is proposing to limit the area of that type of sign, and they have specified a minimum height so that they ensure that there's clearance. So if you walk underneath this attached sign, there's plenty of room to walk underneath it. It's not going to interfere with any type of pedestrian circulation. And I've seen these types of signs where it's potentially in a second or even a third story, you know, kind of elevation for visibility and different things. You can be very creative with these kinds of signs. So with that, I think actually their initial proposal is appropriate. We've also have been reviewing the proposed height of their signs that would go along, ideally along Mountain View Corridor. It's very consistent with what we're seeing. For example, we compared it with Mountain View Village in Riverton, and so this is very compatible, very kind of consistent with the industry. When you're trying to have a center that is oriented towards a high vehicle corridor like a freeway, I-15 or Mountain View, these sign heights are very similar to what other cities in our valley are doing. The images that were included in the packet are just representational. You're not approving the actual sign package. That is actually another application that would come before you. It would be a conditional use where you would look at the total sign package for the project. So you're just reviewing and potentially making a recommendation on the text amendment that is before you tonight. Any questions on the proposal?
I don't have any yet.
Okay.
Is the applicant present, Academy Village Land Holdings?
We notified them of the meeting and gave them a copy of the staff report, and I know that we've...
Yes, John Lindsay's here.
Here okay. We go. All right.
Great. Do you have any additional comments in regards to this?
No, I do not. I believe it's pretty straightforward.
All right. That makes it easy.
Sorry, maybe I do need to add, we have spent a lot of time with our attorneys and working with staff and making sure that what we're putting in front of you represents what we feel is a real solid plan for us to be able to use the opportunity for the signage to draw in additional revenue for taxation for the city and help supply some success to a fairly large retail site. So I think we feel good with what we've proposed.
All right, thank you so much. This is on for public hearing, and so at this time we will open the public hearing. And Wendy, do we have any comments for this? All right, and then seeing no one present in this room, is there any reason for us to keep this public hearing open? Planning Commission, I don't think so, but...
I don't think so.
Okay, then we will close the public hearing at this time, and we'll turn to the Planning Commission for additional comments and... if they're ready to make a motion for what their recommendation is to City Council.
Can we see the graphic? Is there a graphic that shows the text change again? Is there something else here? Just to remind us. Or...
Is there a particular...
No, that's fine. No, I just was curious.
Was there a particular image that you wanted to see? Or
No, I was just curious if you had that proposed text change.
I don't remember. Was there anything with the overlay... like with elevations, what I'm thinking of is, you know, on Mountain View Corridor, it kind of slips down to the east, right? So you do kind of want to have higher signage, but if you're on the west side, the same sign height might, you know, it just plays a lot different depending on just where you place it. I don't know if was there any...
Well, admittedly, that is one of the reasons for the proposed sign height is accommodate or to anticipate that grade change.
Correct.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the other side. If, you know, another 40-acre one came across the street.
In fact, I think, Mitch, if you'll go to, I think it's like the fifth or sixth slide in this package... There is an image that's kind of showing that, kind of the pedestrian scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cross section.
Yeah, I did see that in here.
Yeah. Keep going. Gilmore. There we go.
Gotcha.
If you can see that very well, but
yeah, it looks
so again, you can see why they proposed this additional height, because there is this grade change away from Mountain View.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions.
Go.
Michael, if you don't mind, this is John Lindsley again. One of the things I did want to ask and clarify, just so that we don't run into any issues with wording, you had mentioned that it needs to be 40 acres of contiguous land. We may want to verify a requirement of contiguous, because I'm not sure if what we're trying to do here would qualify for contiguous as the drive separates the two parcels.
There was some verbiage in there that talked about not being contiguous.
Yeah. So maybe let me jump to that section.
I just want to make sure that doesn't cause any issues.
Oh, that's a good point.
The language says that contiguous property may include any intervening public roads. So essentially the idea is if we have this property that is under a joint development and the only thing that's bisecting it is a public right of way, the city is still going to treat that area as contiguous. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Right.
All right.
Do you see any issues with that? And I mean, I kind of was trying to think of any outliers there that we might run to where it would get weird, but if you don't, yeah.
No.
Okay.
Jackson, did you have some comments?
Yes, I do. I'm just getting it written up here.
You're organizing them?
Organizing my thoughts. So on the text side, well, if we can advance up to the monument sign. Yeah, that one there. So let's go one more. So I think one of the things that works well is the scale on these is fantastic as far as everything coming off of SR 85. Then if we go two signs, or let's go advance two slides. And then this one works really well for direction. So as you're driving into each of the entries, this is fantastic. It's very simple text. It's very, go straight for this place, turn here for this one. I think these directional signs are great. Now let's go back one. Then this is where I have, I would say we want to, or I would propose a change. This sign becomes chaotic and difficult to read. And so I think it takes away from the community and takes away from the shopping center in that there's so much going on. And so I'm actually thinking of maybe making a modification in the design standards for the monument signs that limit the monument sign to just the name of the shopping center, as opposed to individual logos. So I would say we, ban individual logos, but then have, one nice sign for the entire facility. I think that would be much more readable and just feel a lot better and inviting for the facility.
Because it's not directional either, right?
What's that?
I said it's not directional either, so it's like.
No, it's not directional. It's just a monument sign. Yeah. Generally, like they were showing as an example, it sits on the corners. So as you're turning left, you're not going to read any one of these individual logos. It's just going to be something that flashes at you. And they're so small that you don't see them. When you go to the giant signs, if you go back one slide on these big signs, as you're flying down the freeway, you're going to see one or two of these larger, larger logos. Just because they're so large and you're going straight down the freeway. But the monument signs at the corners just look a little cluttered. So there's just a little too much going on visually to make them effective.
Can we look at the map that shows where those ones are located again? So do we know which ones those are?
Yeah, they're showing them right at the corners at the entries off of the East Road, which is at the top of the...
Off of Mountain Crest Drive.
Okay.
Yeah. So at the top of this diagram, they're right off the...
Because speaking to your point, it almost makes more sense to move that down and then only have those four entities that are located within there if they're going to do it like that. I mean, is that what you're saying, or are you saying...
I'm, I'm saying that from the secondary and arterial roads where we have a monument sign, that we eliminate logos and just go with the directional sign that doesn't include a logo.
Okay.
Or they can do a monument sign that's just that advertises the entire shopping center, but not individual logos.
Because I see where the directional signs are located. And so I understand your point, Jackson.
I'm wondering if there is, so clearly our applicant is very experienced in working within the development industry, working on commercial projects. Jackson, our planning commissioner, his experience as an architect. I'm wondering if there is a way to maybe find a middle ground that solves both of our objectives. And John, if perhaps we should hear a response on maybe what he's hearing as far as what tenants want in order to attract them to the center.
Jackson, I recognize your comment, but respectfully disagree. With a size shopping center as such, you can tell there are multiple tenants, and every single one of them is going to want to have signage somewhere. And for us to be successful in our leasing objectives, you're going to have to supply signage for them. And not everybody can be on the Mountain View corridor, where obviously we're going to be charging more for that kind of visibility. So these inner, say, for example, Zions Bank in, let me see if I can show you, if you're coming down Real Vista Drive off of Mountain View corridor, it's one of the first small buildings right there, lot 39N, I believe. They're going to request or require that they have signage out there aside from their parapet type signs. And we wouldn't be successful even signing a lease with them if I can't supply them with signage. So the idea with these size signs, which we incorporate multiple bids from multiple sign creators, every single one of them are industry standard to supply these types of signs. And it's mainly for the leasing ability of a project as such size and scope.
So question for you, with the signs that you have located up there, I mean, it's pretty much everything within that area, or are they specific to, let's say, the one that's on the top left is specific to lot 35A, B, 35IH, or... I mean, because that's sort of what I'm wondering. Is it specific to just that area, or is it just signs that show everything's in that's in this community?
It's very specific to that area. So in 35 or in 39, we wouldn't have any signage for a tenant that's in 35 on a sign that's in 39. They're all going to be respective to their geographical areas.
And how many actual commercial entities are going to be on these signs? Because I know you have 10 listed on it here. Is that realistic to have 10 on it every time? Or are we looking at, it's going to have like six here and six and six? Because it changes in my mind a little bit, because then it helps to understand, okay, I got to pull in here because that's where they're located on this one. And then I look for the directional sign.
Absolutely. The idea is to draw in traffic off of the roads. And then once they get in, we use the signage to direct them to the location. So we don't have people trying to drive around in circles, trying to find things. So it's a very coordinated plan of A, capturing the customers off of the streets, bringing them in so that they are indicated of what sort of services and opportunities are applicable within the development. And then once they're inside, you easily locate them to locations of those storefronts. And we try to maximize this effort. And you may not be able to get everybody on a sign, and you may not be able to get everybody on a directional location sign, but the objective is to maximize that as much as we can, because it is a large, almost 50-acre retail shopping center. It's very standard.
So can we go back two slides here, Mitch, to the monument sign? So could we? So if this was something where it was limited to four logos, those might be more readable.
Yeah, I think Jackson's point is he's worried about actually having them serve much of a use if they're whipping around the corner and not seeing them. And I agree to some point, because I know a lot of the areas that I go when I see signs like this, it's like I'm going too fast to even see what they are.
What's the speed limit?
It's also visual clutter. If there's too much going on, people just look past signs. They've
I know, and it's a two-part objective. There is to get the lease, and for example, Mod Pizza may only get a small fraction of people that can see that. You're not going to capture 100% every time of every traffic driver that drives by. We understand that, but they won't sign a lease if they can't get some sort of sign frontage on a road like this. So it'll be blank. And that's the downside. We need to be able to supply this because it's standard for the industry to get our tenants some sort of signage. And from there, we're doing everything we can to maximize that effort. You can't have it too big because then it becomes an obstacle, and you can't have it too small because you can't read it. But these are readable as you drive by, and you'll capture these images that are familiar, and that's the intent. But the main thing is to get tenants to lease this area. They require this, and it's very standard in the industry.
No, yeah, I understand they feel that they're being heard when they see that, but it can get so cluttered that people just look past it. So I'm wondering if maybe we go with just three logos. If there's just three logos, I've seen that done in when you go to, I think it's the Home Depot in Riverton, across from Walmart. There's only three logos on there. Monument sign, and it's, you know, seems clean, you know, a little more visually appealing.
But if you're saying three, is that going to make them come back with more to get everybody?
I would almost see, I would prefer maybe a couple more monument signs and only three logos. It'd be a lot cleaner than one that tries to put 20
on there. You've got six of those that are along that frontage, along that road. You know, if you've got, you know, each of those places had like, what, 12, right? Each 35 had about a dozen. 39, maybe 15 or so tenants in there. I mean, you don't need to have every tenant on each sign, but I think you can. I think you need to have more than three. I think three's too little. I think 10's too much. You know, I think, you know, six, seven, something like that. But you can break it up because you don't need, if they're clear over on one corner, you don't need to have them on the west side either. I think you can break it up. I don't know if I agree with the 10, but I don't agree with the 3 either, though. I think
on average, how many for the applicant, on average, how many actual commercial entities are on these signs?
You know, by giving the option to have 10, you'll probably get 6 to 7 that will do it. Some may be a small nail salon that is more worried about paying rent than paying for a sign out front. And they understand that it's, you know, a good thing for them, but they may be more worried about the cost effectiveness. So you're not going to always fill 10 every single time on every sign, but the majority do require to have some type of signage when, especially when they're in a deep project like this, that doesn't have always visibility from the street. So I would probably think that you would have on average 7 that would probably be out there, maybe 6 sometimes, but it's kind of hard to pin down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you've got 3 signs on each one. You've got, you know, some of the bigger ones may put their logo on 2 of those. Right. But for the most part, they're going to pick one. I think you're going to have a lot of clutter on it.
National tenants, they would just pass on the lease if they didn't have signage opportunity.
Yeah,
sure.
I think the monochromatic part of it makes it readable to me, you know, because you're not introducing all these different colors, which are distracting.
And I don't think our intentions are taking away the signs by any means at all. It's just wondering if there's a better solution that will allow them to be seen better. And that's where I don't, me personally, I don't know if I necessarily have an answer. But I do also know how I look for places, and it's right past these signs because there's too much, and I just look for the buildings at that point. Yeah. But that's me, and not everyone's like me. So
you're an anomaly.
So. Now, if it could be limited to 4, and and maybe I missed it in the text, but I don't know where it calls for the monochromatic in the text, because I like the monochromatic. That helps, so it's not so visually cluttered. So I do like that because in the example it's monochromatic. So maybe if it's monochromatic with 4 logos, it's not as crazy. This makes it a little cleaner, a little simpler as you're coming through. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you go to find your apps on your phone. The one that has the simple app is the one you see first. You know, when you see it, when you look at an app and there's, you know, it's got a lot trying to go on the little the icon, you just don't see it. And so keeping it clean and simple is, I think, what I'm advocating.
So in regard to specifically the monument sign standard, the language in the proposed text, it says each monument sign, including the supporting structure, shall be architecturally consistent with surrounding development and shall include the decorative materials such as stone, brick, decorative steel, or similar materials. And so again, the illustrations are an exhibit of, you know, this particular developer's interest in how they would try to achieve that design standard, right? That is the exhibit. And it may be different, you know, if this tool were applied somewhere else, there might be a different palette of materials and we'd end up with a different kind of architectural scheme for the sign. I will tell you, I know that that Wasatch, John Lindsley, worked with multiple sign companies. We've seen other versions of this sign package, so this was not like the first thing and they're just putting this before you. I know they put a lot of work into what they believe that they want to achieve with this development project. Another thing to be aware of is that the monument sign is clearly identifying in this proposed text the height and display, you know, what is the area for the commercial messaging. And I think it would be really difficult to say, okay, within this 75 square feet, you can only have like six, you know, six tenants or six, you know, because typically, you know, we're content neutral. It's really saying what is the size of the sign? What is the permissive area that's, you know, what's the advertising copy, you know? And then what the tenant does or the property owner does within that sign face, they actually have a lot of freedom. Hmm. Now, maybe what we could do is, you know, have some language that encourages or that the sign sign face or sign text that we encourage that it's readable, you know, that maybe it's based on design speed, you know, having it relate to the road. Mm-hmm. And the sign industry definitely has those standards. They know that if the design speed of the road is this, we know we need to have copy that is this size in order to make it, you know, readable and usable. So maybe you know, the size of the text,
Mike,
is based on design speed of the road, and then we basically deal with design as part of the conditional use process.
I do like that thought because I'm looking at this and the two signs that are on each, right, road A, and I don't know what it is. Basically, your north and south roads there.
Right.
You probably don't want to have a lot of tenants there because people are moving pretty good there. But you get to the intersection, people are stopped, waiting for the signal. They're looking around. Okay.
Yeah.
You could have a few more tenants there and it'd still be readable. So I really don't have a problem right there with that signalized intersection.
Yeah.
Having a few more. But I think it is going to get back to, you know, the tenants are going to kind of dictate. They're not going to want a dinky sign anyway that you can't read. You know, they're going to really help dictate what type and size that they're going to want to pay for out there as well.
So. Yeah, maybe it's just a statement of intent. You know, it's our intent that we avoid visual clutter. We want to make sure that the sign copy is legible, that it meets industry standards for legibility based on design speed. And then you review that as part of the conditional use process.
And I'm curious with the applicant, what is the feedback on actual the size recommendation from these sign companies on being able to read it clearly with how many you put on? I mean, is there certain feedback that you've received with that?
Absolutely. The design that we have put forward, it considers all these things from multiple sign makers that have high experience in doing this. They take the demographics, the number of travel, you know, per day. They take the size of the road. They take how many lanes. They take, you know, the speed of the road, and they consider all these things based on the appropriate sign that they would recommend in size. So there's been a lot of study been put into this, and they feel that, as we've seen through multiple of them, they're all very similar based on this road structure and the infrastructure within.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look at each of those smaller ones, the ones on the bottom, what, they're 2 foot by foot and a half. The top ones are foot and a half by, you know, by 3 feet, you know, or, well, 4.5 by, I don't know. I think I'm with what Mike's saying. You know, right now we're approving that, you know, the text change is not really the substance of the signs. It's just getting the mechanism out there that they can put these signs in, and then they're going to have to come back to us for, you know, final approval of what those are. Is that what I'm hearing, Mike?
So I was actually just looking at which signs in the center are the ground signs are conditional use. Ground signs may be permitted on lots. Okay. Ground sign says illumination may be built into or attached to signs unless exposed to a dwelling on adjacent property. So ground signs may be permitted on lots used for residential purposes with the conditional use approval. So I guess the conditional use approval kicks in if there's a relationship with residential uses, which there will be potentially in this center. You may recall that there's a proposal to rezone a portion of this project RM. So there is some residential use in the center. There's also any project that is over a certain acreage, we require that they go through a site plan review. So it parallels our conditional use process, but it really is going through the site plan process. So yeah, you would see this again.
I guess for tonight's purposes, I'm okay with recommending approval on this part, and then we're going to see it all again, and we can kind of work out the details, and they can provide more information to us about, you know, industry standards and what they've seen in other areas, and, you know, kind of some additional justification as to why they would want the certain logos and number of logos on those.
And I think why this becomes more important too is their theming that they've talked to us about, because they want to, you know, it's not going to be like, here's McDonald's and it's bright, you know, yellow. So their theming of their project, I think, makes the signage more important, because it's not as easy to see every little shop because it's, you know, green, yellow.
Well, and at that time when they come back, I think we can talk more about the colors and everything.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all in agreement that we like the monochrome
feel
and look. We think that's very good, and I think, you know.
So I think we're looking at the text change to create a village mixed-use overlay zone and the recommendation of how we feel about it. I think the details are definitely still need to be worked out to some extent. But are there any other comments on this? It sounds like we're ready to make a motion for a recommendation to the City Council then.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve or recommend approval of item 3.1 to the City Council for a text change to create a mixed use, create a village mixed use overlay zone based on the information.
I'll second that.
Motion by Andy, a second by Brody, and we'll call for a vote. Jackson?
I'll say no.
Andy?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Andrea?
Yes.
That is a recommendation for approval to the City Council with a vote of 5-1. And then we'll move on to item 3.2, which is also on for a public hearing, which is a text change to the Land Development Code regarding electronic signs.
Okay, again, just like the last item, this is a legislative proposal which requires your recommendation before the City Council can consider this, as it is a text amendment to the City Code. This is on for hearing. And then following the hearing, the commission can decide whether or not to close or continue the meeting. You can forward a positive recommendation or make amendments, or you can table it if you wish to have further discussion on it. As mentioned in the work session, we define what an electronic sign is. You can see a mechanism or device which uses a combination of lights or lighted or unlit panels which are controlled electronically to produce sign copy. Next slide. This is the ordinance that we used to have before our current code was adopted at the end of 2017. So signs within 200 feet of a single family residence, the commission must review for approval, denial, or to set conditions for any ground or roof sign within 200 feet of a single family home, unless the sign is separate from a dwelling by a street that is 60 feet or wider. Next slide. So in our current ordinance, we removed that standard, and electronic signs now have this 500 feet separation from residential use. You can see that under 1027.11b. And in looking at our commercial zones in our city, we have a lot of places where we're within 500 feet. In fact, like where Salty Pineapple is and things like that, you see some electronic signs in that area because they were under the old code. But we have some new businesses that have moved in and have wanted to take advantage of that, and we've been telling them they can't get that approved because we have this new restriction. Next slide. Again, this is just an exhibit of that issue. Clearly, we have the potential of being within, easily within 500 feet of residential zones in an area that we clearly had planned for commercial development. Next slide, please. Here's another example of an area that we're allowing commercial, but we're within 120 feet of residential. Next slide, there we go. So here's the proposed text. I know that in Bryn's research, she was looking for standards that were fairly common in the industry. Like all good planners, we tend to plagiarize what we think works and we can recommend from other communities. The one point that I mentioned in the work session is you'll notice that that Bryn's recommendation is that we remove the location restrictions and essentially rely on the brightness and dwell time and the animation restrictions to try and mitigate what are often creating some potential nuisances for nearby residences. But at the same time, that was just a proposal. You know, if that's something that the commission doesn't feel like is appropriate, if you still want to go back saying, maybe we do need to be, you know, so many feet away, or it needs to be at least across a type of, you know, roadway or something like that. We're certainly open to it. This was just an initial proposal to get it before you and have a conversation about what do we want to do with electronic signs in our city. So again, we're making a recommendation, but we also are ready to do more homework. So
the only opinion I have with the location, because I actually think you shouldn't have electric sign within 500 feet of a residential use, unless it's located within a certain distance of Mountain View. Because I think that would be the exception to the rule. That if we have commercial off of Mountain View and we want an electric sign off of Mountain View or closer to that, it would make more sense, because there might be a commercial entity and then some homes located there, but then it's right off of Mountain View, which gives it more options to have a little more commercial use.
But then do we run into issues like with holiday, like gas stations like 7-Eleven that we just approved, where it's like right by residential?
Yeah, and so for example, a lot of our gas stations these days just have a really simple, like an LED sign with the changeable numbers.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's putting up the old plastic numbers anymore, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so even that potentially, if we were to be really strict with the regulation, we would say, well, that's
that's
electronic
more of
sign.
A height issue.
Yeah.
Not that it's electronic.
I did notice she put a stricter
lumens candle.
A standard on brightness.
Yep. It's like 0.3 feet candle measurements. I don't know. For me, it's more of focusing on height than that it's electronic.
I'm not a big fan of any sort of flashing anything within or close to residential.
Well, that's right. That part F down there, they say that specifically.
I mean, that's why I'm not opposed to keeping B. But, I mean, it's 500 feet too far.
I was going to say, I think 500 feet's too far. Maybe there is a distance, but 500 feet is too far.
But, I mean, you look at the examples that were given, it was 100, 120 feet, and it's across the street. I don't think any of them want to be going to sleep and having a light flashing in their back window. I just don't think it's something we'd want to see.
Well, is it then at that point, like you were mentioning, it's a time of day situation?
Well, I think we don't have anything about time of day in here at all. So
I think one of the problems is, I mean, we want to promote commercial, and a lot of commercial tenants require certain signage, like we just talked about. So that kind of deters people from taking certain lots if they can't have signage.
Well, the only problem with that, Brody, that I see, and it's my opinion, obviously, is look at those communities where they've allowed a high amount of these signs.
Yeah.
And it tends to really deteriorate the feel of it very quickly.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
So that's where I have a little bit of trouble with it.
And again, it sounds like we're going to be going back to the drawing board. And let's study those issues a little bit further. Go ahead.
Mike, has anybody reached out to the school districts? Because the school districts are putting flashing signs next to people's houses all the time. And I was just curious what if there was a guideline that they're using, because they flash, they say things, but they don't, I mean, they're right next to houses in some cases. And the one where you're saying the 120 feet sign, there's a school sign that tells everybody's birthday and what's going on for that school, just like 20 feet to the left of that sign. So what I'm asking is, can we maybe look at what the school's putting in and seeing what levels those are? Because I don't think people are upset with those.
Do those stay on at night, Adam? Do you know?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I've never not seen them on.
Yeah. And I'd be curious. Maybe
we consider both of those.
I think like restricting height, and I would like to see an example of like what point five to 0.3, the difference. Initiation between the two looks like, yeah. Visually.
Okay. Yeah,
I can't.
The spirit of Bryn is in my phone, and she said, "Just tell her what you want us to work on, and we'll do some more homework on it, and we'll come back and have another conversation." So.
Well, I wonder if maybe it's a combination of if you're going to be within a certain proximity to residential, you have to be off at a certain time of day as well. Maybe it's something to that effect, along with this situation. Because yeah. I'm okay with, I can see it both ways, but I agree. If it's too close to residential, we don't want it on 24/7.
Okay.
Maybe we do something like that. Suggestion there.
Well, we'll come back for round two then, if that's okay. If that's the direction of the Planning Commission.
I think that's the only question I have.
Okay.
Is
I would second what you said, Chris, about making it available along SR 85. I think that kind of makes sense. And even maybe Porter Rockwell or.
Yeah.
And there is a standard, because I remember when we researched it for the signs for Real Salt Lake, there's a federal highway standard.
There's a federal highway standard for interstate freeways.
With that being said, technically, Mountain View doesn't apply because it's not a freeway or highway. And that's why you can put a sign every 10 feet if you want it. But I think we probably should write something in here that says the application of signs along Mountain View will apply to whatever that is. I can't remember the name of what it was, but there is a federal standard on that.
It's my understanding that the attorney who consulted on the previous overlay has also been involved with this one. So we could follow up on that.
Yeah. So I do remember reading it, though. It was a while ago. So,
well, for me, I'd kind of like to know, like, speed, like we just talked about, like, how big a sign needs to be, depending on road speed.
And I apologize, guys, but I don't think we ever opened the public hearing. Right. And so let's open the public hearing real quick.
That's right.
We got talking with Mike on this, so let's open the public hearing. Have there been any comments presented to you, Wendy? Do either of the two individuals in the audience want to say anything? No? Okay, I think we're good. So we'll close the public hearing at this time. Sorry about that, guys. And then, are there any other additional information? I think we've touched on most of it, unless there's something new that we'd like to add.
Yeah, is it clear? I don't know if it's clear to me. But
you're still concerned about proximity to residential.
Yep.
We want to maybe do a little more research on whether or not these levels really are successfully controlling or mitigating the potential
like how much
conflicts.
Light noise does that even,
I do like the idea of maybe having a FGH or FG, yeah, H. Mm-hmm. That's getting late in my mind. That says anything adjacent to Mountain View Corridor, which at this time is the frontage roads, then this standard applies. And I'm hoping it's that federal standard of highways and things like that. And so reference that code, something to that nature. I think that would be the easiest way to sort of apply to that.
And we can also consult with the district and see if they have a prescribed standard on theirs. They may not, but they may. Yeah.
So, all right. Any other items on this one, guys? Then we'll look for a motion, which I think is to continue at this time. So,
I move to continue item, I don't know what number we're on.
3.2.
3.2.
Thank you, Adam.
I'll second that.
A second by Heather, and we'll call for a vote. We'll go Heather.
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes.
Brody.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
And Andrea.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. And that's the last item on this agenda. Are there any additional comments from anyone on the Planning Commission? All right, then. Future meetings, we have Wednesday, October 14th, which will be City Council meeting. Thursday, October 15th is Planning Commission meeting. And Wednesday, October 21st is City Council meeting. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys.
Aye.